One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel. Want to remind you again, coming up on the 14th, we'll be switching to transmitter 5050 over WWRV, so be prepared for the switch coming up on the 14th. That's just a couple of days from now. And we'll be seeing you probably Monday on that date. Let's see, today's the 11th, I think. And the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, the 14th will be on a Monday. So we'll be seeing you on 5050 coming Monday. Anything different, and we'll just have to let you know. So stay posted. And tonight, you don't want to miss it. We got a great program for you. Part 10. And I don't know why that we're doing so many parts on the pyramids in 20 and 12. But it seems like they're interchangeable. Egypt is in the news. The place where Yahweh decided to put an altar, according to Isaiah 19 and 19. And here we are in 2011, heading towards 2012. This is an astrological event that we're going to talk to you some more about tonight. Tonight we're going to deal exclusively on Planet X, or Nibiru, as it's quoted in the Sumerian tablet. There's 22,000 tablets found in the Mesopotamia plateau, where they discovered a pre-biblical history. It looks like that the Bible of Genesis 1 was taken very conveniently from these tablets, or it could have been that Moses knew of these when he wrote the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis seems like it's a broad-brushed examples of what happened, and this is a more detailed, a few names have been changed or changed. Moses used different names for the gods that the Samaritans used. But we're going to take a look at these things and talk to you a little bit about Nibiru. In 1982, NASA recognized the possibility of an extra solar planet that was beyond the reach of their best satellites to detect. So NASA set out to change that. But just 1 year later, in 84, JPL conveniently had just what NASA needed to make it possible to look deep into our own solar system beyond Pluto's orbit. That's where they wanted to look. They knew that something was perturbing Pluto, and so they wanted to find out what. They launched a satellite by the name of IRAS, or IRAS satellite, to locate a very large object that NASA officials were bedeviled by and that they do not want to accept. That was their own statement. What they were now witnessing through the data suggested that it might actually be moving toward Earth. And then that, they took that out. Very conveniently, they denied what they had wrote in 1984, that they had found an actual planet that might be actually moving toward Earth. Now, what would that mean? Well, by launching this infrared astronomical satellite, with the results to be overseen by Dr. Jerry Neuenberger and IRAS chief scientist Dr. James Hulk of Cornell University, they decided to publish that they had found this mystery heavenly body discovered. Now, I'd like to read you a post in my research here of the Washington Post article on the 31st of December, December 31, 1983. It's a front page article. Front page made the front page. Here's what they said. Mystery heavenly body discovered. Now, why haven't you heard about this mysterious heavenly body lately? If you're not keeping up with the latest news, or if you are, you haven't heard about this, because this came out and then disappeared by a correction by NASA, because it began to upset people. Now, I just want you to grasp what I'm trying to tell you here tonight. What if? Now, the Bible speaks about fearful signs in the heavens. What if you were told that there was a heavenly body, a large heavenly body at that, headed in our direction, and probably or possibly it could collide or it could interfere with the orbit of the Earth? You see, it just takes a little disturbance to make the Earth wobble. It's already wobbling. And just a little perturbance, like it's doing beyond Pluto, science has long knew, the astronomers have long known, that there's a mysterious object out there somewhere. Now here it is officially, the U.S. Infrared Astronomical Satellite has discovered a possible giant planet so close to Earth that it would be part of this solar system, found in the direction of the, listen to this now, here's what really excited me. Because everything on earth, and Egypt, the altar where that I spoke to you about, the pyramids, this is why we're talking about it, and all of the places on earth, in Peru, in Mexico, at Stonehenge in England, all of the crop circles that have been mysteriously appearing in England for years, this is about the 13th year that they've been forming out there. Nobody knows how they form, and they've done proved that they are not a hoax. And these very geometrically circles have been focused from the air, made from the air some way. Somebody is trying to send us a signal. And ladies and gentlemen, here the government discovered this mysterious object, and it says that the astronomers don't know if it's a planet, a giant comet, a nearby protostar. They have never got hot enough. It could have never got or possibly got hot enough to become a star. And a distant galaxy so young that it's still in the process of forming its first stars, or a galaxy so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars gets through to us where we're able to detect. All I can tell you is that we don't know what it is, says Dr. Neuenberger. We don't know what it is. Now, he works for California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. It is the laboratory to filter, NASA filters everything through the JPL. And they have a Palomar Observatory for the California Institute of Technology, and so they watch and they look and they listen. The most fascinating explanation of this mysterious body, which is so cold that it casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space, is that it's a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 billion miles. While that may seem like a great distance in earthbound terms, it's a stone's throw in cosmological terms, so close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet Pluto. So it's relatively close, and it would be part of our solar system, said Dr. James Hoek of Cornell University Center for Radio Physics and Space Research, and a member of the IRAS science team. If it is that close, I don't know how the world's planetary scientists could even begin to classify it. The mysterious body was seen by the infrared satellite as it scanned the northern sky in, if you will, the Orion constellation. Ooh. All of the pyramids are aligned to the belt in Orion. All of the, just like Stonehenge, just like the temples in Mexico that the Mayans had written about. Are they trying to tell us something? Is something to be looked at from the area of Orion? Could this be what the Messiah spoke about? There shall be fearful signs in the heavens. This don't suggest a comet, because a comet would not be as large as the one we've observed. They know it's not a comet, but it's dropped out of the news. I was talking to one of my brothers that sponsors me down in Mississippi, Brother Mark. And we were having this conversation just the other night, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the radiation exposure from the possibility of the largest solar flares that we've ever experienced. Now, that could wreak havoc along with this planet, Planet X. And he was talking about that he had heard one of the theories was that they were spraying the government. You said they won't tell you why. They just do it, and then we have to live with whatever they're doing, whether it's clean or whether it's dirty or whether it's covert. They're not going to tell you. Under the rule of national security, they're not going to let you know why that they're up there spraying. A lot of the things that they're putting in to form these clouds, it's ingenious. I've watched these clouds. They turn out to be just like nature's own provision for clouds. Yet they've got a little difference. It's subtle, but you can tell. Most people don't even know that these artificial clouds have been spread across the heavens just like peanut butter on a piece of bread. They really spray. And I was telling Mark, in this area, they really go out. And I've seen reports all over the earth that they're spraying at strange times, and we really don't know the reason. One of the reasons he'd heard was to cool the earth down to the point that this solar flare possibility coming up in 2012 would not be as effective or devastating as suggested it could be, and we'll talk about that. And from the sky, the mysterious body had not moved from its spot in the sky near the western edge now, of the constellation of Orion. This suggests it's not a comet. And though it's as close as 50 billion miles, it could still be a distant planet that had not moved in 6 months' time, but it could. It has a temperature of more than 40 degrees above absolute zero, which is 459 degrees Fahrenheit below zero. And the telescope aboard the satellite is cooled so low and is so sensitive, it can see objects in the heavens that are only 20 degrees above absolute. And when the scientists first saw the mystery body and calculated it, that it would be as close as 50 billion miles, there was some speculation that it might be moving toward Earth. It's not incoming mail, Caltech Neuenberger said. I want to douse that ideal with as much cold water as I can. But what then is it? What if it is as large as Jupiter and so close to the sun, it will be part of the solar system? Conceivably, he said, it could be. It could be the 10th planet that astronomers have searched for so long. It also might be like Jupiter, like a star that started out to become a star eons ago but never got hot enough like the sun to become a star. While they cannot disprove the notion, the scientists said they're so bedeviled by what they do not want to accept and hope that the mystery body is just a distant galaxy, either so young that its stars have not begun to shine and surrounded by dust that its starlight cannot penetrate the shroud. And the next step in pinpointing what the mystery body is, Neuenberger said, is to search for it with the world's largest optical telescopes. Already the 100-inch diameter telescope in Chile has begun its search, and the 200-inch telescope at Palomar Mountain in California has earmarked several nights next year to look for the body. If it's close enough and emits even a hint of light, the telescope should find it, since the infrared satellite has pinpointed its position. They know where it's at. They're waiting for the light, enough light to refract into the telescope so they can pick it up. Now, my question, why, since 1984, as things cooled off and nothing has been said. And yet the government seems feverishly building underground shelters, stocking it with food and water, spraying in the heavens to lessen the effect. If this theory that Brother Mark and I were discussing was correct, or should be part of the problem, and I expressed to Mark when he was telling me about the theory that I could accept that as part of the problem that we've got to look at, and it's posted in the Washington Post, 1983, and in the New York Times at the same time. It made front news on the front page, and then it dropped out of, and then NASA went into denial. Oh, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't. Now, there's something wrong. Something is wrong with announcing it, finding it, locating it, pinpointing it, and then being very hush, hush, hush. What if the government knows, and I'm not suggesting it does know this, and I can see the wisdom if they did know that it was moving in our direction where it would interrupt our orbit or disrupt our sensitive satellites. Just think what happened. If Nibiru, now they're saying it's just a hoax, that it's the greatest hoax ever portrayed, more and more amateur photographs and satellite images. Now, it's hard to go up there and prove anything, but these images keep coming forward. These satellite images keep coming forward. Then the issue that the U.S. government has been sweeping under the rug, when it alerted man that they had found this long-lost perturbance, every man, woman, and child, NASA has been warning every man, woman, and child to get ready, now listen to this, for a once-in-a-lifetime super solar storm event. But the trouble is that NASA don't tell you how to prepare or what to do. What could you do? The only protection that you could have would to be bore into the earth. Just exactly what the government's doing, but they're not telling you. They're not preparing you a place. They're not putting an earthen shelter over your head to shield you from the solar radiation exposure. On the other hand, Planet X could be, now this is what we're talking about here at this point, is NASA has been warning everybody about the 20 and 12 when they will have, they say, this is what they say, the National Academy of Science says that a super solar storm can arrive anytime between, and this was written in the year 2009, it can appear any time between now and 2013, causing the Earth, or particularly they were warning about the United States, to be locked down for months in a worldwide power blackout. Now, wait a minute here. A worldwide power blackout? Predicting in 2012 will be the largest and most violent solar storm that we've seen from the sun. This is the National Academy of Science. Said it can rise anytime between now and 2013. They say that a power blackout would produce ungodly amounts of electromagnetic radiation emitted from such a prolonged event that it will cause nearly all electronics to break down, even if they're not plugged into the current. It means that no cell phones, no computers, no web, no banking system, no cars, no trucks, no planes, or anything of this nature by electronic would operate. And we would be left, they warn. National Academy of Science warned. Boy, this got awful. You know, their warnings just went underground. Maybe they prepared. Maybe they took it serious. But, you know, we're not being, it's not on front page now. It's been taken out. Some of this has even been retracted from the government about even finding a body. Now they won't even confess that there's one out there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that Christ said was there'll be fearful signs in the heavens. No wonder they're not going to tell you about it. No wonder they've retracted. If it's there, these possibilities could happen where that there would be no food. After probably 2 months, most would run out of food and water. Or probably sooner, for the average person on Earth, it will be very soon. They say that the average home without stocking, and right now you can't afford to stock. I mean, they've got you between pillar and post, and we know this for a fact. That Mark and I were talking about, that the government has stepped in and ordered all the available extra food from these suppliers that are in the business of making this long-term packaged food that'll keep for a while. The government's bought it up itself. Now, why? I'm not saying that, well, it would be good business from the government standpoint. If I was running the government, I would do the same thing, wouldn't you? Well, would you want to tell a bunch of people, like, 6 or 7 billion people, would you want to scare them and get them all, you know, like the Egyptians, they quit working and they spilled out in the streets demanding that their leader leave. And about 20-some days of no work, the government was completely shut down, all the tourists left. The Egypt will probably, it'll take them, if they ever recover from this, it'll take a long time. But there's something behind that. This uprising and the stress among the nations, something's causing it. Is it the government fearing that if they don't have complete control of the people, if they know what's coming, if the government knew something, would they tell you? And the answer, I think, would be no. And if I was running the government, I wouldn't tell you anything. Well, it'd be suicide. You couldn't operate. It'd be chaotic. At least we got a little order right now. But you let man read on front page news that there is a destructive planet, and the ancients called it Planet Nibiru, or Planet X. That means the planet of crossing. And isn't it strange that all of the Mayan, the Egyptian prophecies, and around the world, in Mexico and in Peru, that every one of those pointed towards Orion? Here we are, we found out that there is a large, could be a death planet. It could wreak havoc with Earth and its orbit. I'm telling you, it's so delicate. The Earth is, you know, it hangs on nothing. And these electromagnetic radiation-emitted storms prolonged to cause all the electronics to break down, we would be in a bad fix. And for those people that are desperate, and the anarchy that would, it would abound. and the fittest would rule over the land. In other words, if you had food, somebody would get a gun and take it from you. There'd be people hungry, in the dark, fearful times. Isn't that what the Bible predicts? I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2012. I think maybe that this will be the point of crossing that I've explained that will open the black hole in the center of the Milky Way right in the constellation of Orion. Isn't it strange? Did the ancients know? Here, the people in Samaria, within that constellation, they talked about Nibiru appearing every 3,600 years and would wreak havoc. Some have even suggested that during the Exodus from Egypt, here we go with Egypt again, that Nibiru passed through and wreaked havoc, ripping out the Red Sea, where that the Israelites could go over on dry ground, and there was a shift of the poles, so to speak, just like it would be in this day. And there was the darkness, so dark in Egypt that they could actually feel it. Now, how they survived, evidently, it was not a great solar storm associated with it in full part. Like now, we're being warned that it's possible that we could have the largest solar flares in 2012 and a great solar storm that would wreak havoc, anarchy, panic. I'm telling you, the result of a solar storm could knock out the electronics, and we could have starvation, no electricity, no fuel, no running water. What are we going to do? We're at the mercy of Yahweh. If you don't know Him, I would suggest that you call on Him in the day of trouble. Isn't that what the Bible said to do? So the only thing that I could tell you is for you to call on Yahweh and pray that you are worthy to escape the things that are coming up on you. Now, let's talk about the word Nibiru. It comes from the Akkadian language that translates into a crossing place. Now, how about that? Isn't that so strange? Right now, that in 26,000 years, in 2012, that we are in a place of transition one more time, that the Sumerian tablets 5,000 years ago said that it would depict Nibiru as a planet of crossing. The cuneiform symbol sign used in Sumerian tablets for this object was often a crossed or a winged disc, and you see it on all of the Mayan, all of the Egyptian, and all of the South American and the Peruvian. Archaeology has dug up thousands of winged discs on the tablets, and those in Babylon of ancient times, the planet was associated with their sacred god Marduk. Now, Marduk was in the planet system of Cyrus, and Cyrus happens to be in the constellation of Orion. It is the brightest star in the heavens. And from this planet, they worshipped Marduk. Now, they're close. But in the Babylonian creation story, the Enuma Elish, a form of this word, appears on tablet 5, where the heavens were being formed by this great god, Marduk. He made the stations, it says on the tablets, for the great gods. Now, the stations, is that space stations for their travel through the heaven? The stars, their images, as the stars of the Maseroth. He fixed these and ordained the years into sections as he divided it, says the tablets. For the 12 months, he fixed three stars. Is that the belt stars of Orion, where the Egyptians, the Mayans, and those at Peru and in Mexico, where they founded these stations to look toward the constellation of Orion? And here's our Messiah saying, look into the heavens, watch for the signs. For there shall be great signs in the heavens and fearful sights to behold. Reference to Nibiru in the Enuma Elish is associated with the planet Jupiter. But others feel that this stationary body named Nibiru reflects to a pole star. But in later records, the Babylonians left no question that Nibiru was a planet. Now, I have told you about, I believe that the Bible would substantiate my theory here, and I'm just interpreting the theory as the Spirit gives me guidance. I've studied this some 30 or 40 years ago, that in the event when I was studying on the thousand-year reign, Yahweh gave me this information, and I prayed and fasted for, and he gave it to me. And this is what I determined through his revelation to Pastor Buddy. Not saying that it's correct, but look for the sign. That's what I point you toward. Yahweh said that he found Satan. The lightning fell from heaven, and he bound him in a place and delivered him into a place in the bottomless pit. Now, the angels that came down after the war that I explained to you, and they took Satan and his rebellious angels and bound him in a dark setting. He loved darkness, and that's where they put him, in a dark black hole in deep space. Matter of fact, it's right in the center. I don't know why that he did this, but he did. Known to Yahweh was his plan all along. He declared the end from the very beginning, so he knew what he's going to do. And each step along the way proved Yahweh knew what he was doing. And the Bible says that they bound Satan and took him to the deep. Now, the deep, I believe, signifies space. And there they bound him and set a restrainer on him. And at the point of crossing, the first time in 26,000 years, 13,000 years ago, we had what is known as a upheaval in the earth. We know that the pole shifted around 10 to 15,000 years ago, right about the time that the pyramids were built, to tell us what was going to happen. And so, as we get deeper into the series, we're going to go into the pyramid and do some measuring and do some predicting. 1 inch would represent 1 year. And you're going to be blown away how this is going to come to the point of crossing in the heavens associated with the plan of Yahweh to bind Satan and reduce his power for a short time, and then he's going to be loosed out of his prison. Now, by coming out into the center of the universe for it's the largest black hole known in space. Now, a black hole, as I have told you in part 3 of our series here, a black hole has magnetic pull opposite. It implodes. Everything is drawn into it. And this is the largest black hole that we see in the whole universe. Right in the center of the Milky Way, represented by Orion. The brightest star in that system is Sirius. And the Egyptians worship Sirius, the planet Sirius. And they directed all of the, and these were not the Egyptians you see over there in the street. It wasn't their forefathers. These were the shepherd kings that ruled Egypt at that time. I'm going back beyond those who are in Egypt now, which are the sons, if you will, of Ham, the associated son of Noah. When they went out and they began to miscegenate their seed among those of less desirable, and that's why that Yahweh, these shepherd kings were withdrawn after the Israelites were imprisoned, if you will. It seems like it's a reverse motion. Here is Israel. They go into Egypt, and that signifies darkness. And then when they come out, there's a war in heaven when the Messiah comes, and Satan and his angels were imprisoned in darkness, signifying Egypt. And here we are in a time of trouble for Egypt. It's in the news. The pyramids are in the news, and we just happened to be doing a series when this came up. But if you notice that the Babylonians, they call this place of the crossing, they called this wayward planet that the ancients called Nibiru, they call it a planet instead of a dead star, a planet. Now, if that's true, and Satan hitches a ride on Nibiru, and then they come back into our solar system, and then they've got the technology to planet hop with their ships. And guess where they're coming to? Where would you believe that Satan and his angels are predicted to come to? In the Sumerian records, it refers to a large planet with an elongated orbit of 3,630 years through the solar system. Now, that's the one that was similar to comet CR-105, that if you remember, that everybody was afraid it was an omen that when it passed through in the year 2000. I can remember it well at Passover. We watched it every night go through silently as it went through the heavens. Now, this is similar, and that's the way it would act, only it would disrupt a lot more than a comet, because it is not a comet. A comet has done past that comet theory out of a possibility. And due to the immense magnetic forces of such a large space object, such a concept was thought to be impossible until the recent introduction of the Ophiris theory. Sumerian myth holds that the Anunnaki lived on Nibiru. Now, I've read the 13 chronicle books of Zachariah Sitchin. Some say that it was just folklore and fiction. But more and more, it's proven, as he spent years down in the Sumerian tablet among the 22,000, he deducted that these were the ancient angelic watchers, he called them, and he claimed that they came to Earth because the atmosphere was failing on Nibiru, and so the Anunnaki came here in search of gold to mend their planet's protective shield. Part of the theory is based upon sound science, even today, that NASA plates things used in missions to protect things like the astronaut's eyesight from the effects of the sun. The Anunnaki were known by the Samaritans as those who from heaven came to earth, who wanted to create workers and enslave the inhabitants and work them in their gold mines. And Sitchin proposed that the Anunnaki genetically engineered these humans by crossing their genes with the Homo erectus of the evolutionary theory that we have long debated. In light of the recent discovery that human DNA has a double helix, Kilcichian's theory of the Anunnaki God just engineering properties and Adam some weight then with certain other groups, but this goes directly against other world religions' texts and teachings, and so it didn't go over too good. Is evolution a part of the truth going back to the ancient one? And is some of the workers on the earth, have they been mixed with the genetics of the gods and maybe some of the lower beast forms? After all, we do share 98% of the DNA features of a monkey or a baboon. Now, if we look at the appointment with Marduk, and Mr. Sitchin predicted that this mysterious planet will return with the end of the Mayan calendar on the winter solstice of 2012 and the specific hour of 11:11 a.m. Universal Time. And we've been seeing 11:11 as long as I can remember. It's been a sticker in my memory. Every time I look it around, it seems like on the digital clock, it's 11:11. Now, the theory surrounding the 10th planet, its projected arrival coincides with the rare planetary alignment of Earth, Venus, and the Sun, lining up with the dark rift of the Milky Way while dropping below the elliptic galactic plane. This is for the largest sphere of a cataclysmic pole shift is probably more probable at any time, and a theory that is denied as impossible by scientists, yet this has happened more than once before in the long history of planet Earth. The destruction and disappearance of Atlantis around 12 to 13,000 years ago was most likely caused by a major pole shift or a crustal dislocation that caused land to disappear beneath the oceans and new land to rise from the depths. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do if this happens? Are you prepared? Have you been on your knees and talked with the King lately? Are you prepared? If Nibiru is the greatest hoax ever portrayed, then why are we having the government to say that there is a large body out there, and then all of a sudden, nothing more is said? After the announcement, the retraction, they refuse to talk about it. Like it never happened. Like the satellite designed especially to find this, and it did. It was right where they suggested it would be, through the perturbance of the two outermost planets. Here we found the 10th planet. They have almost assured us that it's a planet. It's cold and dark and foreboding. Doesn't have enough light to reflect into the reflector of the scopes. But it did, the infrared, it picked it up and described it as a large planet with the event of the solar flares that's due to come. Now, if they are spraying to cool, if you will, the planet, and that's the real reason, also it could be by hiding this event, spraying in places where there could be possible amateur astronomers strategically placed around the world, if they could spray and block out the view of this planet to keep down panic until it's so late in the game that when it's upon us, and don't the Bible say that the day will come upon us unaware? There will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. Isn't Satan, who loves darkness, don't he deserve to be in a dark place right now? And it could be that he's being loosed as we speak. And gradually, he's coming to take over the world. That he'll be here to bring peace and prosperity and come in peacefully. He will teach us marvelous things. He will tell us marvelous things. We'll know then that we're not alone, and we'll know that angels are not just little spirits bumping around up in the air and sitting on clouds and blowing their trumpets and flying off with their wings. We are made in the image of those who are above us. We're no different. Angels do not have wings. They don't need them. They've not got, let's say that they got eagle's wings and they just go, let's say that they wanted to go from one planet to the next or from one star to the other. Light years away with the speed of an eagle. What about something that could travel outside of time? More advanced. Warp in time, like Einstein predicted and other greats, like Tesla. Ladies and gentlemen, we are far advanced beyond what you would think right now if the government would tell you that the United States knew that there was a planet coming and devastation was almost a certainty. Don't you think it would be in their best interest as a government of survival to get the choice people that they wanted at the proper time, hide them, store food for them, and weather the storm? If there is going to be a blackout, and the Bible talks about the sun is going to refuse to shine. Maybe, perhaps, that nothing is new under the sun, that this happened approximately at 1450 B.C. when Israel was delivered out of Egypt with great miracles and signs, and maybe at that point that everything that was pronounced to be destruction, Yahweh turned it into good for that area to work in His plan to deliver His people out. And just maybe that what is going to go against the inhabitants of the earth, because the Bible warned us that woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Woe, woe, woe. But everybody's playing golf, eating, drinking, and being merry. Ha-haing about, well, Pastor Buddy, he's a nut. He just lays somebody out there all the time. It's the way he thinks, and ain't nobody out there but God and the angels, and they wear wings, and they don't have to get in spaceships and travel around. They're not like us. We're made exactly in their image. We have to create technology to do the things that we're doing, and they have had technology created a long time. Of course, they were expert scientists, the angels that sinned and were cast down. This is all deliberate on their part. They willingly, sinfully failed through transgression, and they became reprobates, turned over to a mind of darkness and evil, always doing bad, never doing good. And they basically give us the same instincts. The Bible said that man is made upright, but he sought out many inventions to go the ungodly way. And for this cause, Yahweh shall send upon us famine, pestilence, wars, and things of this to cause us to suffer until we learn obedience, till we all come to the knowledge. Boy, that's going to be bad. No cell phones, no computers, no World Wide Web, no banking system, no cars or trucks or planes. Everybody will have to fend for food and water. No wonder Yahweh said the righteous will be taken from the wrath to come. You'll be living like rats in a sewer. Those that do live, and those that can't live, mercy will take them over. And mercy will provide a way out. Remember that the Washington Post, in an article in 1983, front page news, I just read it to you, what's changed? Nothing but the secrecy. They dropped the subject. The government dropped it after they found out what it was. They dropped it, and nothing else was said concerning the catastrophic possibilities that could come. The catastrophic possibilities that could come. So then, ladies and gentlemen, where are we? Is it possible that someone living today on earth has not heard that extraterrestrials, beings not of this planet, have been visited and observing us for a minimum of over 60 years in evidence after evidence? Airline pilots, and people, average people have told the same story over and over, that paranormal creatures from the heavens have been coming to earth since the days of Adam and Eve? There's no way that we can escape this. Just read the Bible about watchers. I've got, if you'd like to go to our website, that's Pastor Buddy, and Bob is our webmaster, is working on a new website right now, but you can go to the old one. That's oneyahweh.com, and you can read messages after, I don't know how many I've done on this subject, probably over 40 hours of teaching posted on the internet right now of those who live above the earth, those that live on the earth, and those that are hid under the earth. All three possibilities of the hollow earth. There's a lot of things that you haven't been told about, ladies and gentlemen. You'll know it in time to come, when you will see fearful sights and hear fearful sounds from the heavens. Now, like I say, go to our website, oneyahweh.com, and we will give you hours and hours and hours of messages on the subject that we teach on, and we cover everything in the religious field about what it takes for you to get to heaven. You've got to know the truth. My people are destroyed for the lack of it, and you're certainly not hearing it. Go to the most controversial website on the World Wide Web right now, and you'll find out that there's a lot of things that you didn't know. If you would take the time to listen to the messages and get honest and serious about escaping what's coming up on the earth, and you can, by knowing what to do. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Now, I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Bud and Brother Edward, along with Brother Paul. And I can give you his toll-free number, Scientific Products. Brother Paul in the great state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. I'll be on here tomorrow night, sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. I'll be back in here Sunday night, sponsored by Dr. Gary down in the great state of Mississippi. A lot of guys down there love Yahweh, and they're not afraid to put their money up and put it where their mouth is, so that Pastor Buddy can teach you some of these things that we believe that you should be preparing for, and have a place to flee in the time of trouble. And the first place you run to is the river, and get baptized in the name of Yahweh, and get clean outside and inside, and get ready before what's coming upon this earth to try the heart of man. You can write Pastor Buddy tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip 37874. Now that's the Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. And you can call me tonight. I'm live around the world on WWRB. We'll be in here next Monday night. I believe it will be on 50-50 coming up next Monday night. And we'll be on WWCR, like I say, sponsored by Dr. Gary, on Sunday night. I forgot to finish that up. But we'll be in here on a message for all of the WWCR listeners around the world, the two great shortwave stations in the world. I think it's the two top stations would be WWRB and WWCR. Pastor Buddy's on both of those 6 nights a week. If you'd like to have our schedule, just go to our website, oneyahweh.com. We'll have the new one up about the 1st of March, Yahweh willing, and Nibiru don't come and wash us away. Praise Yahweh. We hope that you'll be ready, even if he does. Call me, area code 423-351-1082. That's 423-351-1082. And as always, you can call my cell phone, 423-259-0606. I got to get out of here. My time is coming gone. I'll see you tomorrow night on the early show. That'll be 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central, around the world, with Part 11, again, of the pyramids and 20 and 12. Yahweh keep you, and Yahweh bless you.